This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on July 26, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. I'm going to call to order an open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for July 26, 2007. I want to express my appreciation for the patience of our staff, the patience of those who have come from the public to be in our audience today. One of the things that struck me when I arrived in this building, having watched it from the outside for a long time, is how much work actually goes on behind the scenes to produce the final product of this agency, and I think everybody got a little bit of a flavor of that today. So I want to thank you for your patience. The first item on our agenda is correction and approval of the minutes. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of the minutes of an open meeting of the Federal Election Commission of Thursday, July 12, 2007, as set forth in Agenda Document 0751.
Very good. The Vice Chairman is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you can record, the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. The second item on our agenda today is Draft Advisory Opinion 2007-09 involving the Cary Edwards 2004 Committee and their GLAC. And we have from the General Counsel's Office today Dwayne Pugh as well as Ron Kakwan, and we want to express our appreciation for Mr. Pugh, who has been who has moved over to our Congressional Affairs Office but has agreed to continue to serve at least up until this advisory opinion in the General Counsel's Office as well. So,
although given what's been going on this morning, this may be the last time he agrees to do that.
we appreciate him wearing two hats for the last little while. Thank you, Mr. Pugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In its advisory opinion request, the Cary Edwards campaign asks whether its General Election Legal and Accounting Compliance Fund, or GLAC, may reimburse Cary Edwards 2004 for a portion of the broadcast time purchased during the 2004 general election. The draft advisory opinion before the Commission in Agenda Document 07-52 concludes that the portion of the broadcasting costs incurred by the Cary Edwards campaign in complying with the disclaimer requirements of the Federal Election Campaign Act are compliance expenses that may be paid, and in this case reimbursed, by the Cary Edwards GLAC. Publicly funded presidential candidates are allowed to accept private contributions and deposit them in GLACs to pay for various legal, accounting, and other compliance expenses. The purpose of GLACs is to permit publicly funded presidential campaigns to preserve their public funds for campaign expenses by allowing them to pay their legal compliance expenses with private contributions. Permitting the Cary Edwards campaign to use its GLAC funds to pay for the broadcasting time devoted to compliance with the Act's disclaimer requirements advances this purpose. The draft advisory opinion also concludes that the Cary Edwards campaign may attribute broadcasting expenses based on the proportion of broadcasting time devoted exclusively to the required disclaimers compared to the total broadcasting time in each advertisement. The Commission received three comments on this request and the draft that we would be happy to address. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Comments, questions? Anyone would like to begin? I'll be happy to, start the ball rolling on this. I'm sure everyone has thoughts. I mean, my thoughts is that this strikes me as a reasonable approach. We have, in our regulations and practices, allowed presidential campaigns that have decided to accept public funds to allocate and pay for a portion of those costs related to legal and compliance activities through what is known in the parlance of this agency as a GLAC account. The amount of those costs and the kinds of costs vary somewhat depending a little bit on what they are, from 100% of some kinds of costs, 50% of other kinds of costs, down to a general practice of allowing a sort of a 5% across the board allocation of staff costs to the GLAC account. And the question, as I see it presented here, is whether it is reasonable for the committee to allocate a portion of the costs of television advertisements that contain the new BCRA Stand By Your Ad disclaimers at the end towards the compliance costs in the GLAC account. And I think that this is a reasonable approach. The Stand By Your Ad requirement is a mandate from Congress. The mandate is that at least 4 seconds of the advertisement must contain this disclaimer, and the statute says both that the candidate must appear and what the candidate must say. My thinking of this, I think, is in partly shaped by some readings I was doing recently of a program done by the Annenberg Foundation in which they had the participants from both sides, from both the Bush and the Kerry campaigns, talking about the campaigns in 2004. And one of the things that there was bipartisan agreement on among the media people is how much they hated the disclaimer requirements. I mean, they really, to a soul, thought that there was no use to them in having these things, and there was a struggle as to whether to put them at the beginning or the ends of the ads. But it certainly was perceived by them, and I think was not intended by Congress not to benefit the candidates themselves, but to benefit some broader public purpose. It seems that in a range of areas we allow the costs of complying with those kinds of requirements to be paid for out of the GLAC account, and it seems reasonable to me that we do so in this setting as well. It also, in some ways, relates or is similar in some ways to the advisory opinion we did a number of years ago on allowing the recount costs to be paid for out of the GLAC accounts as well. So, from my perspective, this seemed like a reasonable direction to go, and I intend to support it. So that's Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with your view of this, Mr. Chairman. I mean, all of us here and everyone in the regulated community knows every second of airtime is precious. Costs are very expensive, and there's no way the campaigns would waste 4 seconds of a 30-second commercial on a compliance message like this that they could devote to an electoral message unless they had to do it. And I think it's entirely logical and reasonable, both under the statute and our regulations, for us to take the view that the cost of having to comply with this requirement that Congress set out be paid for by the compliance fund.
Thank you. Other thoughts, comments, suggestions? Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I struggled with this, and I think that it's fair to say that yesterday when I left, I'm a great believer in getting to yes and finding a way for everyone to agree on something, and it's fair to say that yesterday when I left the office, we didn't have 4 votes on any approach. And that's why we had this little last-minute song and dance where we were scurrying around at the last minute trying to find 4 votes. I think that I agree with much of what's been said so far, and in conversations that we were having earlier today, it was pointed out, and I think this is true, that in a way this is, in addition to the recount AO, this also draws upon some of the logic that went behind the Obama AO, which is that the public financing system is in a crisis, and we may need to be a little bit creative in order to provide candidates the flexibility that they feel they need in order to continue to participate in it, and this is another means of doing it, but it's not. There are other ways. Reasonable minds could disagree on this. There are other ways of looking at it. And one suggestion that's been made in an effort to get a consensus on this is that we should approve this. I have some language that I wanted to add in, and Commissioner Von Spakovsky has kindly edited my language to make it say more of what I wanted it to say in the first place, which has been circulated. It's not very substantive. It just stresses that this only applies in the GLAC context. But there was some concern from some commissioners about whether we should do this. And in an effort to accommodate that concern and reach consensus, it was suggested that we should cap the payment at 5%, as was suggested in the request, rather than 13%, and that that would be a better result for some commissioners, and it might be a way that we could actually get a consensus on the draft. So at an appropriate time, I would be prepared to try and craft a motion, which I think would involve sending it back to our council for a little bit of redrafting. But it would, the end result would be very similar to what's in the current draft, except instead of 13%, the amount that could be paid from the GLIAC would be 5%, consistent with the request. And I'm hopeful that that will get consensus.
Thank you. Other comments, suggestions, thoughts? Commissioner Walther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was concerned about the implications of a broad approach toward this opinion because I felt that for a couple of reasons. First of all, I'm mindful that the act itself does not give an implication that exceptions can be made. So the question then is this in furtherance of a campaign? And we could argue a number of different ways on that. But in areas where we found that expenses may not be in furtherance of a campaign or in furtherance of the election per se, are in our regulations. And our regulations are pretty clear that, in my view, that this would not be covered and we would be breaking significant new ground potentially to go down this road. And since an advisory opinion can sometimes take on a life of its own and move us in a lot of different directions or request for us to move in a lot of different directions, I was concerned about that and felt that we would be better off if we addressed this issue with not only with respect to broadcast ads, but for any other areas in which this might be found to open the door in a rulemaking. I recognize that our compliance manual has set some approaches toward resolving issues like this in a way that's more economically efficient for everyone, and I think that has a lot of value in and of itself, and the advisory opinion request suggested that that could be an approach that we could take. I think that you can also make the argument, as is well made in the request for the advisory opinion, that there, if we were starting on a blank slate, not with our regulations in place, which I do think would not generally could reasonably be interpreted to include it, that we could find a way to allow an aspect of this to be included. So I would favor the approach that was mentioned by Commissioner Weintraub if we were to vote in that regard.
Thank you. Other Vice Chairman Mason?
I just want to make one general point and then ask one clarifying question just to make sure I understand the extent of the proposal. First, a general point, and I think some of the commenters addressed some reference made to the lack of provision in the statute for a GLAC, and that's sort of way beyond this request, since we already have GLACs and by regs and so on like that. But I think it's important to note that this is not a situation where the commission is without purpose, wildly making something up without good reason. You know, whatever we choose to do in this particular application, and it is simply this, that where circumstances arise which were clearly not contemplated by Congress in enacting a statute, the commission exists in part to deal with those circumstances. And I think it would be hard to argue that Congress even remotely contemplated when they passed the public financing statute the bureaucratic complexity with which it has been encrusted over the last 30 years. They thought it would be pretty simple. We would give these candidates a grant. They wouldn't take any private money. We'd need to do an audit to make sure that nobody took the campaign money and took a vacation to Bermuda or something like that. But I think Congress envisioned a pretty simple, straightforward system. And for a variety of reasons, it is anything but that today. And in that context, I think precisely the question of, well, how do we handle that and handle, in essence, the dead weight cost of regulation on these campaigns is one that Congress didn't contemplate and therefore that it's appropriate for the commission to address. And I think that I just wanted to put that piece of context from my perspective. The technical question I want to ask, if we go with this 5%, there's some questions in here, both in the advisory opinion request and, as I recall, in the audit about the amount of money that media firms spent in record keeping and so on like that, and whether that could be allocated to the GLAC. And I think that's raised in question 4 in the request. And I just want to understand the relationship of that to the proposal to extend the 5% rule more generally. To put it more specifically, as I recall, the Kerry Edwards campaign had some costs that were charged to the campaign by their media vendors for record keeping and compliance that they were able to kind of segregate out and identify. Those costs were, as I recall, nowhere near the 5% of the total ad buy. And so are we intending, by applying the 5% rule, to say you can take 5% of airtime, production, everything associated with the media, and that's that, but that would then mean that you can't come back and segregate out, and some additional dollar amount related to the record keeping and compliance costs at the media production firm?
I don't know what everybody else thinks. I think not. I mean, I think that my sense of that, my recollection from the audit was that those costs were costs related to ascertaining what rotations different ads ran in different media cycles and providing the records necessary for our auditors to parse out whether there were appropriate, whether the money expended for the running of the ads actually were run in the time zones and the rates that they were. My sense is that what we're struggling with now is the costs of the ads themselves. And I thought of those, and my impression is that those were not priced out of the, when they were trying to comply with the because there were enormous record-keeping, requirements that initially weren't met, and then our auditors and the campaigns went back trying to sort of get these records from the stations as to when these ads ran. And my recollection was that those were the costs tied to that particular piece of it. And my sense was that we were now confronting, whichever methodology we use, we're now confronting the production cost times or of the ads themselves. And the fact that a portion of that ad contained speech that was, required by the statute to be included and was not of the campaign's choosing. I'm not sure that the answer to that question varies depending upon whether we use time, space, or 5%. I think that, how we deal with those two different cost factors remain distinct things regardless. But I could be wrong.
Well,
about
I was raising the question because there was some attraction to me in using a set figure because reference was made to this is easier on the campaign and this is easier on us and so I was just, and since I knew we had that that segregated expenditure and I just wanted to understand how the pieces were going to work together. And I have no idea. I mean, it could well be that even though that was a significant identifiable cost, it still might have not have been 5%, just of the production cost. So I'm not sure it makes a huge bottom line difference to the campaign. But
yeah,
that's why I raised the issue. And we can certainly limit it to simply the airtime cost, but I thought from what I was hearing that this was extending more generally. And if it is extending more generally to the production costs and so on like that, then it would make sense to me to the extent we have to deal with this in the future, take off the table the necessity to have to then keep separate records for some of the compliance costs borne by the media firm.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that point? I mean, I guess my sense.
The only inconsistency is if this does extend beyond the airtime, it wouldn't make sense to give them 5% of, in essence, their production bill, and then also allow them to identify particular costs charged by the production company to compliance. That wouldn't be sensible.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure I agree with that, because I think it strikes me that they're doing different kinds of compliance, right? I mean, and I think this happens all the time in these areas, and I see Joel Stoltz sitting there who knows more about this than I think all of us. What we've seen so far in the audit on compliance is compliance with the record keeping requirements that are necessary to prove up that they spent the public funds in those areas. And the separate question presented here is, given that a portion of that those communications aren't of the candidate's choosing at all, but are of Congress's choosings, can compliance with that congressional mandate be fairly allocated as well? And so they strike me at least as presenting somewhat different questions. Other thoughts, comments, motions? Commissioner von Spakovsky.
I mean, if the only way to get this passed is a 5% cap, I mean, I will vote for it. But I have to say, I mean, I support this draft opinion as it is drafted. And I would point out that if you look at the compliance manual, the 5% isn't a cap. What the compliance manual says is a committee may allocate 5%. To allocate more than 5% of payroll and payroll taxes and overhead expenses to exempt compliance, a committee must establish individual compliance allocation percentages for each person, including the allocation, maintain detailed records to support the derivation of such percentages. So, you know, we're saying if you want to go beyond 5%, if you've got the records to support it, we'll allow you to do that. And here, we know the cost of the 30-second ad. And 4 seconds out of the 30 seconds is being allocated to compliance, then we know that 13% of the cost, they've got the records to support it. So if it's time for that, Mr. Chairman, I mean, I want to make a motion that we approve the draft as sent up to us by OGC, however, with the change in language that has come around us from Commissioner Weintraub, with some further edits that I had proposed, and those edits to her document would simply be in the second to last sentence, where right now it reads, "No other federal candidates are permitted to do so under any circumstances." This would be changed to read, "No other federal candidates are permitted to delete, do so, and add, maintain a compliance fund under any circumstances." So the sentence in whole would read, "No other federal candidates are permitted to maintain a compliance fund under any circumstances." And then the final sentence, which currently reads, "As such, this advisory opinion has no applicability to any other candidates or political committee." The other would be deleted, and it would read, with language added at the end, "As such, comma, this advisory opinion has no applicability to any candidate or political committee without a compliance fund." And I think that more clearly gets to what we were trying to say here. So my motion then, Mr. Chairman, is to approve the draft opinion sent to us by OGC, which is
it's agenda document 07-52.
Yeah, 07-52 with the changes and proposed revisions that Commissioner Weintraub has given us, with the further changes that I've just made.
Okay, so the I guess the Commissioner Weintraub's a document has been presented as an agenda document. It's late submitted, so we would need a motion to bring that into the record, or you'd have to, I guess, read it in its entirety or whatever. I think
I'll save us that trouble. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move suspension of the rules concerning the timely submission of documents so that we may consider agenda document 0752A.
Okay. The Vice Chairman is so moved. Any discussion? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. So the So Commissioner Von Spakovsky has moved the approval of Agenda Document 07-52 as amended by Agenda Document 07-52A as further amended at the table, as he has so indicated. Madam Secretary, was Commissioner Von Spakovsky's amendment to Agenda Document 07-52A, the Weintraub submission, sufficiently clear?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. So Commissioner Von Spakovsky has so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to reluctantly vote against the motion, only because I was instrumental in brokering a deal, and I think I should live with the deal that I brokered, and the deal was 5%, and that's what I'm going to vote for.
Okay.
But I agree that there is a certain logic to your position, Commissioner, and I applaud you for your logic.
Other comments? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Madam Secretary, if you could record that Commissioner Von Spakovsky's motion has failed by a vote of 3-2, with Commissioners Weintraub and Walther opposing. Other motions. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not even sure how to say this. I move that we approve the document as amended by, I'm sorry, we approve Agenda Document 07-52 as amended by 07-52A. With the changes described at the table by Commissioner Von Spakovsky, except that the amount that the GLAC could pay would be capped at 5% rather than the 13 or 6% that is stated in the current draft, and we'll have to send that back to council for a little bit of redrafting to clean that up, because I don't think we can just substitute in the numbers. I think we're going to have to do a little bit of rewriting on that, and I assume that will be passed around for us all to look at. And it's offered in the spirit of compromise.
Okay. So Commissioner White, I'm sorry. Yes.
Mr. Pugh. Just wanted to make an observation that based on the structure of the questions from the requester, if I understand Commissioner Weintraub's motion, we would be answering question 3, in which case we're also asked to answer question 4. Question 4 asks what percentage of the production costs and commission costs for the media program could be reimbursed by the GLAC, and would the 5% apply to that?
Could we ask the auditors if they have an idea about the compliance-related production costs that were submitted in the audit, to how they relate to the overall production costs?
I'm not sure we have a way of hanging a percentage or a dollar total on if there is a marginal cost of putting the standby or.
No, that's not what I asked.
No. Okay.
As I understand it, the Kerry Edwards campaign submitted identifiable compliance costs from their media vendors.
I believe what we charged to the limit was the $100,000 payable that was in the contract. And I think the campaign responded that they paid in excess of $100,000. The GLAC paid in excess of $100,000. We were saying that was not relative to the $100,000 that was in the contract. We said that was relative to the $400,000 that was in the contract, but the commission sort of agreed with the campaign.
What was the $400,000?
The contract
total called, production cost?
The $400,000 was costs associated post-campaign relative to record keeping, gathering records for the audit, and
okay. And do you know how much their overall production costs were?
Production, oh, yes. Production of records, or production?
Production for media production.
Media production was approximately. Well, it's in the report.
Please take your time.
I think it was in excess of $2 million.
Mr. Chairman, this is another one of those times when I feel like it would also be useful if we would just ask the counsel for the requester to come up to the table and see if they have anything to add to this discussion. I get that feeling from time to time when we have these AOs.
I don't have a breakdown. The number we have in the report is production and commissions.
And that is how much?
$2.1 million.
$2.1 million. And in the report, we allowed $400,000 to compliance.
Not $100,000. We had only put in $100,000, and it was a payable at the time, and the GLAC paid in excess of $100,000. We said that should have been paid by the general, and the commission agreed.
Okay. So we allowed them $100,000.
$100,000.
That was a cost
for production of records
that they identified. Okay.
Yeah, and if I could just clarify, I mean, and these costs were associated, is my recollection, with the costs of trying to comply with the various record-keeping requirements that we had set
yes.
forth in proving that the public funds were actually used for the purposes that they were designed to try and influence the public to vote for or against the particular candidates that were running. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, we're in the process of asking our staff some questions about what the record is, so we'll deal with that in a second. Okay. I'm sorry. I've lost my train of thought. There was another question. Okay. And just as a follow up. So the costs obviously that the as I understand it that we're wrestling with in this particular matter involves the actual costs of the putting these advertisements on the air, which was far in excess of the $2 million that was their production costs. Am I correct?
The Kerry paid for 100% media buys in excess of $43 million. And then another $5.2 million was their portion of the hybrid that they paid, so approximately $49 million.
Right. Okay. So
I mean, if we want to do that as an ex parte communication, I think since we've received it, that would be appropriate, and that's fine with me. I just want to make the point that this is sort of, to the point Commissioner Vines-Pekoski was bringing up that. And it's not a big point because we may not have to deal with it again and because there's not big dollars involved. But There's an inconsistency between if we're going to answer question four and say yes, you can allocate 5% of your not airtime costs but other media production costs to compliance, but we're also allowing them to separate out the $100,000 identifiable. That's the tension that I was talking about, and it strikes me if we're using a 5% rule that it would be more consistent to use that rule, and conveniently the dollars are matching up in this particular circumstance. But that was my concern, and having stated it, if my colleagues want to do something that I don't view as completely consistent, it won't be the first time. It won't be the first, and it won't be the first time. Perhaps I've taken positions that aren't completely consistent. So, but that was my. Okay. I hope you understand my concern at least at this point.
Yes, and we have a series of rules and regulations that regard communications with the commission, and one of them permits parties to make communications, ex parte communications to the commission, and we put them on the public record. Usually, those occur before our meetings, not during. There's nothing in the rules that prohibit it, and we have received one, and for the record, so that everyone knows what it says. And traditionally, we would circulate this among all the commissioners and put it on the public record. But given the timing, I will simply read it. And it is an ex parte communication to me from Carolyn Goodson with today's date. And it says, if the commission will allow GLAC to pay 5% of the media buy, in open parentheses, $43,794,095 total, costs, we do not need the rest of the questions answered. Okay, so that is the submission there. I am going to take a 5-minute recess, because we've been, I think, struggling through, and I think reasonably so, the issues presented by this, and I think before, and then other issues have presented themselves, which I'm not sure everybody had thought through, and I think in those kinds of situations, it's reasonable to take a short break and. You know, read through this stuff and have folks comfortable with how they wish to proceed before we do proceed. So I will call a 5-minute recess. Thank you. Thank you. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for July 26, 2007. We have before us a draft advisory opinion, which is designated Draft Advisory Opinion 2007-09. We had a motion from Commissioner Weintraub, which we were considering. There was some discussion then of whether that would change some of our answers to the original advisory opinion request, and that we received an ex parte communication from the requester's counsel indicating that, in fact, the discussion today may have resolved some of the questions that were originally posed. We took a short recess, and counsel for the commission has had some discussions with counsels for the requesters during that intervening period. I guess I turn now to Rosie Smith to indicate to us what that she has gleaned during that our short recess. Ms. Smith?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would like to say I hope this will make our task a little bit simpler. We are advised by the requester that they would like to withdraw question number 2, and this is the one from their request that talks about if the answer to question 1 is yes, is a 4/30 or 13% allocation of such costs as compliance expenses a reasonable allocation based on the 4-second disclaimer rule, etc. So that question number 2 would drop out. We are further advised that there's a modification to question number 3, which will now be the new question number 2, and it would read, if the answer to question number 1 is yes, then it goes on as it did. What percentage of the cost of airing the advertisements, and they would insert here a parenthetical of approximately $49,400,000, and then it would continue as it did, may be treated as a compliance expense, and the rest of that question would continue as it is. And then they've also advised us that question that number 4 would drop out as well. So we would have just 2 questions, number 1 as it is, and number 3 becomes number 2, and it addresses the 5% of the cost of airing the advertisements, which is 5% of approximately $49,400,000.
Okay, and so I will turn to the counsel for the requesters. Is that a fair recharacterization of the request that you're making to us? I see a nod in the affirmative from counsel for the record and those who are listening on podcast. Okay, so, and I assume, Commissioner Weintraub, that you would like to amend your motion to reflect the proposed changes to the advisory opinion request as detailed by counsel just now?
Yes.
Okay. Madam Secretary, is the motion before the Commission sufficiently clear for us to proceed, or should I take a stab at repeating it? Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, because there are a lot of parts, and this is understandable. I mean, when people initially, people ask us for advisory opinion requests because they perceive the law to be unclear. When they ask us, they're not sure where we are, and as a consequence, frequently ask us multi-part questions conditioned upon us answering one way or the other. And at this stage of the game, I think the requester has a far better sense of where the commission is than they did when they first drafted this document, those many weeks ago. So I think that this is all entirely appropriate as a way to proceed. Commissioner Weintraub.
And I just wanted to clarify, Mr. Chairman, even though we're taking out the 4-second piece of this, that it is the premise of the answer is still that there's a statutory obligation for them to include these disclaimers in the ads, which they would not otherwise do. We are capping the amount that they can spend it at 5%, but it's still based on the same statutory requirement.
Very good. Other comments on the motion before us? Seeing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record that Commissioner Weintraub's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. Council, thank you very much. The last item on our agenda for the day, which had been the audit report of TEDPO, we are holding over for an additional week to reflect some more and have some more internal discussions on the audit practices. This brings us to the last item on our agenda, which involves the management and administrative matters. Ms. Clark, are there any such matters to discuss today?
No, there are not, Mr. Chairman.
With that, I bring the meeting to a close. Thank you very much.